Blog Talk Radio.
Boys and girls, welcome to The Sower this Monday evening. I am your host, the very Reverend Dr. Andrew Patrick. Before we get started in our readings, today we will be reading out of the book of Proverbs. That's Proverbs chapter 3. And quite an interesting little bunch of tidbits of information that dwell within the writings of it. So we hope that you're going to enjoy this reading and this meditation and lesson that the scriptures have to teach us today. But before we get started in all of that, I just want to make out a little announcement. This past weekend over in London, our fellow brothers and sisters of the Holy See of Antioch had a ordination and consecration ceremony, and I just want to wish each and every last one of you that are listening to this or listen to it and then talk to others in reference to it that our love and our joy is overwhelming for you all in answering the call to serve the Lord, and we ask that you bear good fruit for the kingdom of God, and that is our prayer for all of you. On another note, we just want to keep in mind all of our special intentions, our love for the Lord. And I need, for some reason, this touched my heart prior to the show starting, maybe within the hour. I want to ask you, the listener, a question. When was the last time that you said, "Thank you, Lord, for my life, the good and the bad in it"? The good things that have happened to you and the troubling things, the hurtful things that have happened to you. When was the last time you took a moment and thanked our Lord Jesus Christ for your life and what you go through? I want us to keep that in mind as we go through our readings today and as we begin our program with our prayer. So with that said, if you will, lower your heads in the name of the Father and of the Son, of the Holy Spirit, in the words that our Savior gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Proverbs chapter 3. It is 35 verses, and hopefully it'll flow quite well, but there are a lot of points to be made in this, and in certain respects, it's even redundant, meaning it falls back on itself, and you'll understand as I give you the discernment of this reading. So let us begin. Chapter 3, Proverbs. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For the length of days and long life and peace, they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so, find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Verse 7. Be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastising of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. Verse 13. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand the riches of honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and her path are of peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. Verse 19. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths were broken up, and clouds drop down the dew. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down, and your sleep will be sweet. Verse 25. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of terror from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence from being caught. Verse 27. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is in the power of your hand to do so. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back, and tomorrow I will give it, when you have it with you. Do not devise evil against your neighbor, for he dwells by you for safety's sake. Do not strive with a man without cause, if he has done you no harm. Verse 31. Do not envy the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the perverse person is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret counsel is with the upright. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the just. Surely he scorns the scornful, but gives grace to the humble. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the legacy. Fools. A lot of meat in these words, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Let us look at the very beginning. In the first few verses, there's a theme that is set up. And the first part of that is, do not forget my law. Let your heart keep my commands. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I know that life has a way of unfolding and taking us down paths that are not necessarily the path that God wants us on. However, if we keep his commands, meaning if we read his word and we understand his word and we cherish his word and we incorporate it into every fiber of our life, our being, then we, in this case, are doing as God commands us. Do not forget my law and let your heart keep my commands. In verse 3, he says, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, that is the word of God. That is the Holy Scriptures. That is the Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, if you are not reading your Bible on a daily basis, I do mean that, even if it's just a scripture or two or a chapter or two, if you're not doing that and making time for God, why should God make time for you? You have already forsaken him. Granted, he will not forsake you. He's always there for you when you reach out and call to him. But there are some warnings in this message, and I want you to adhere to them and realize how important your salvation is and your understanding of the Father and what his will is for all mankind truly is. And that it's written in this short little proverb of 35 verses of chapter 3. He says, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Ladies and gentlemen, if you keep his law close to your heart and you obey his will, mercy and truth will not forsake you. And if you incorporate it into your day-to-day life, you will find favor and high esteem in God and those around you. That's pretty powerful. That's not a, well, if I do this, can I have that? No, it is a promise. It is a promise. We'll get into that in just a few moments. He says in verse 6 and 7, in all your ways acknowledge him. And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, that's why I asked you right off the very beginning of this program, when was the last time you said, thank you, Lord, for your life, for all the good and the bad in it? He's brought you through it for a reason. Do you understand what that reason is? Are you acknowledging him in all that you do every waking moment of every day? I know it's tough, and he knows it's tough. By doing so and making that conscious effort, you will find high esteem in the Lord and in others around you. He says in the latter part of 6b, the second part, he says, he shall direct your paths. If you communicate with Father, ladies and gentlemen, and you have the faith of a mustard seed, that's it. And you ask him for help and guidance, he will grant it to you. If you're asking him for a better job, if you're asking him for more money, if you're asking him for another house, if you're asking him for a better relationship, he's not necessarily going to help you with those things, because that's what they are, things. And unless they work to his benefit for you and your life, then you're not going to achieve it. But here's the catch 22. In the scriptures it says, physician, heal thyself. In other words, we need to do things for ourselves. We need to move in those paths. And if they don't seem to be working out, ladies and gentlemen, that's where other aspects of chapter 3 come into play in our heart. We're coming up on that shortly. In verse 9 and 10, he says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, that means giving of tithes. That means of giving to the church. That means giving to the ministry. That means giving to charity, not as an afterthought. It means to do it because He has blessed you. So you should give a percentage of that back to the ministry, to the church. I've asked for help, and outside of a few people that are members of our church in the aspect of clergy, I've gotten no help from you. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not giving to your church. That doesn't mean that you're not giving to your favorite charities. But are you giving in an afterthought because you saw a commercial on television and it touched your heart? Or are you giving it because you know that God blessed you with that paycheck and you are giving a portion of that back to the church so that it can function and grow and spread the word of God as you are listening and understanding the word as well? Food for thought, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Because He wants your barns to be filled with plenty and your vats to overflow with new wine. Remember, don't do it as an afterthought. God doesn't do anything with you as an afterthought. In verse 11, He says, "Do not despise the chastising or the chastening of the Lord, nor detest His correction." Ladies and gentlemen, when life doesn't seem to be going as planned, are you seeking His guidance to put you back on the right path of your life? Ladies and gentlemen, that's only something you can ask yourself. Have you been fair to God? Have you given of your possessions? Have you given of your time? Have you thanked Him for the gracious gifts that He gives you each and every single day, multiple times every day? We go on to read here, "For whom the Lord loves." Ladies and gentlemen, I've been corrected by God many a times. Sometimes it comes even by man correcting me. God uses all of us. I don't chastise God or get angry with Him when things don't go my way. I used to when I was in the world, when I was of the world, yeah. Because what came out of my mouth came from my heart. But as we learned in the very first parts of this, He says, "Write them on the tablet of your heart, His commands, and I have. And it has changed my life, and it can change your life." Just as a father, the son in whom he delights. Fathers, mothers, they correct their children when they need to be corrected. No, the child doesn't always like it, but they get over it, they get past it, and they learn from it. And if they're good children, they don't do it again. If they're not so good children, in other words, they've got something in their spirit or in their life that is influencing them, be it another member of the family or be it someone else around them that they associate with. It can be a battle at times. Well, think of your life with God when He's trying to chastise you and put you back on the path that He wants you on, and you choose to go another path and do things that are contrary to His commands. In verse 13, He starts talking about wisdom. He says, "Happy is the man who finds wisdom." How do you find wisdom? Yeah, you can go to a wise person in your family, the elder of the family, and get words of wisdom from them. You can go to the library and get books on Plato and Aristotle and God knows how many other Roman and Greek philosophers out there that can bestow some form of wisdom upon you. You can go to school and sit in your classroom and take notes when things are being said that make you smarter. Yeah, that's a form of wisdom. But the wisdom that God is talking about here is, happy is the man who finds wisdom. Wisdom in the scriptures. I bring it up again. The Holy Bible is full of wisdom from cover to cover for your life. He goes on to say 11 times between verse 14 and verse 18. He uses the term her or she to identify wisdom, to look at it in the feminine aspects. When I say feminine, let's look at it from sincerity, from gentleness, from meekness, from nourishing. This is some of the attributes of wisdom that can be bestowed upon you when you subscribe it to your heart and to your life. So don't cast wisdom aside. If it's foolish, you will know. See here. Got about less than 10 minutes, and I have quite a few more verses. So let's jump down to verse 21. Verse 21, it says, "Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble." Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, when you take time to learn of God and to read His Word and pray on His Word and talk with Him and communicate with Him multiple times in the course of a day, and I don't just mean when you're blaspheming His name, believe it or not, when you use the Lord's name in vain, in any form of it, because it is a Trinity. They say that to swear Jesus' name is not blaspheme. It is, ladies and gentlemen. It is. Because the Spirit is the, blaspheming the Holy Spirit is the only unforgivable sin. And when you use the Lord's name in vain, you are using the Holy Spirit's name in vain, because they are of the same. You are cursing God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit when you use the Lord's name in vain. I don't mean it just in casual conversation. No, it's no big deal. Yes, it is a big deal, ladies and gentlemen. Start looking at wisdom and what the Word says and what it means, and accept what it means, because if you don't, then you're in for a rude awakening, because He's already gives warnings in the Scripture itself. He goes on to say, "When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, when you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from when the wicked one comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught." Ladies and gentlemen, that's a two-bladed sword right there. Because if you are not following the command of God in your life, every single waking moment of your life, and if you are not taking time for God by reading His Scriptures and getting the wisdom that's in it and in placing it into the ascribing of your heart, putting it into action every single day, opening up your wallet and giving it to the church when the ministry asks for help, not as an afterthought, "Oh, I got a few extra bucks, yeah, I can do this." Where was the few extra bucks when God gave it to you in the first place? "Well, I earned it." Yeah, and God gave you that day to go and earn it. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, if you are not doing as these Scriptures say, then you are not in the confidence of the Lord, and He will not have your back when terror and trouble come. So which side? Draw that line and stand on the side that you want to be on, and then commit to it. In verse 27 and 28, it's twofold. It says, "Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is in your power and hand to do so." Ladies and gentlemen, don't give idle praise and compliments. Don't just put a like to something. Put a comment. Why do you like this on social media? This blog piece that maybe have touched your heart, why not express your views to go along with it? Ladies and gentlemen, there are so many things that we just cast off in the course of a day because we don't think we have time. Just remember, time is fleeting and it is precious. But what are you spending your time on? As we go down into verse 29, he says, do not deceive or devise evil against your neighbor, for he dwells by you for safety's sake. Many do look up to you, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. So hold that in high esteem, because God's put you in that position. And these people are lost souls, and they are searching for God. And you just might be the one to reach them when no one else can. That might be your whole purpose here on earth. So take advantage of that and don't cast it aside and say you don't have time. In verse 31, he goes on to say, do not envy the oppressor. Choose none of his ways, for perverse persons are an abomination to the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, I could write a whole sermon on just those two little lines. Talked about some of that. But there are many perversions and abominations to God. Many. We just mentioned one, and that's using the Lord's name in vain. I mean, how would you like it if somebody cursed you every 5 seconds and then turned around a second later and asked for help or a need? Because that's exactly what you do to God every time you say his name in vain or in jest or in jocularity. It is a name of to be feared and to be revered in reverence. And you are not giving God credit. So why should he give you credit and have your back? Woe to those that detest the words that are coming from my heart to yours. For it is God that is coming to you and to your ears and trying to touch your heart and to help you to change your ways. As we go on down here, in verse 33, he says, the curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked. Now, there's a warning, ladies and gentlemen. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked. So if you're cursing the Lord's name and you don't stop, but you know you shouldn't do it, there's got to come a time in your life. I'm an old sailor, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. And with my knowledge of 6 different languages, there was a time I could cuss 42 words and never say the same word twice without stopping in multiple languages. I was proud of that. 42 words cussing and never say the same word twice. Ladies and gentlemen, who was I giving honor to when I did that? My house was wicked. No wonder. My life was turned upside down and full of turmoil and trouble and anxiety and stress. He goes on to say, with a promise, but he blesses the home of the just. He blesses the home of the just. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just, he will bless you abundantly. Your vats of wine will overflow. Your barns will burst at the seams when you give him of your time and your heart and your generosity. In verse 34 and 35, where he says, surely he scorns the scornful, but gives grace to the humble, and wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the legacy of fools. 34 and 35 fall right back to verse 7, where he says, do not be wise in your own eyes. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, humble yourself. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be the health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Well, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I hope you've enjoyed this episode of The Sower. Please join me next week for another chapter, another aspect of discernment and meditation for your life. And I hope that you've enjoyed it. And you tell your friends and you all listen. Remember, if you'd like more information on the Celtic Cross Foundation Ministry, you can go to our website at www.CelticCrossMinistry.com. This is the very Reverend Dr. Andrew Patrick saying God bless. We'll talk to you next week.